Follow meeting to order.
Are they going to catch hell from you out there now or what?
All right, we'll call the meeting to order.
Where's your gavel?
All right, we'll start out with the citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments?
They needed that.
Citizen comments? Seeing none, then we'll move on to the next order of business. I have no reports. Are there any reports from committee? All right, seeing none, then we'll have the minutes.
I just have a comment.
Go ahead.
Well, this is going to dovetail into already an agenda item, which is the sheriff overtime report. I thank the preparer of the report in email. I think you all got copies of it. I think it is beneficial to have some of this information prior to our packets coming out, prior to the meeting, so we can review it. And I'm thankful for that fact. So I think I'll leave the remainder of my comments until we actually come into our agenda item. But that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Were there any other committee comments that we overlooked? All right. Seeing none, the minutes are before you. Do you have any additions or corrections? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? First item is the proposal to appoint Ellen Cupfer to serve on the library board.
So moved.
How do you, all right, is there a second?
Second.
Who's seconded?
John O'Day.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is there any discussion in this regard? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I will circulate the resolution for your signature and move on to the next item of business, which is the appointment of Ronald Johnson for the library board.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that is coming along. And then there's the appointment of Nancy Kemp also for the library board.
Move to approve.
Discussion.
Second.
All right, there's a motion, and who seconded that?
Ryan.
Mark.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that is also approved. And then the next item of business is a human services ordinance to change Chapter 16, and that's going to be presented by Lori Staves, who's sitting in tonight for Dave Driscoll.
Yes, and Cindy's at the other end of the table in case there's any other questions. This ordinance change came up for a couple of reasons. We're updating some statutory language. The state moved the oversight to a different department for this. So there's some in the Department of Health Services. So there's some language that we needed to clean up, and it's also going to give us a little bit more flexibility in increasing the fees for these programs. The old ordinance was around since 1992, and we've been capped at 2.5% for more than the 20 years for fee increases, and it was brought up last spring that we should look at this and present some ordinance changes so that it could free us up to get to the 100% of our total program costs covered. So this ordinance covers restaurants and retail food businesses. It covers hotels, motels, bed and breakfast, recreational and educational campgrounds, public swimming pools, mobile home parks, and what we did was we gave you a document that has all of the changes highlighted, hopefully if gray, if not yellow, so when you printed it. So what I'll do is I'll just kind of slightly go through some of just the changes. So on page 16-1, which is the very first one, on the bottom under E, that paragraph, what we did there was we took out some older terms, which it was the health officer is kind of like an older term, so we cleaned up that language. And then we gave a clearer definition of what a reinspection is. So that's the only thing that changed there. I will have asked you that there is a mistype. It's where it says the division may re-inspect a license holder whenever an inspection or the investigation, not of. So if you change the word of to or, that will have to be one correction on this, and that's it. The next page, the bottom of the page on F, a $50 re-inspection fee would be for all re-inspections, including the first one. The first one was usually free up until now. The top of 16-3 on G, this is the paragraph that'll get us to increase our fees from now on up to a maximum of 5%. So the licensing begins in July 1st of every year, so that's why it says July 1st, and continuing for every year after that, the fee shall have an increase of up to 5% per year until the programs are fully funded for all the related costs. Right now, the restaurants, with this ordinance change and the fee changes, will go from 80% to 95% of our costs covered. And then next year we'll get to that 100%.
Question. So that's July to July? Or
it's July 1st to June 30th. That's when the license program is for the state. And then the retail food stores right now are at 55%, and it'll go to 68% of the cost. And the next couple of years, they'll will reach total program costs, and then we'll just... it'll be fine after that, but we were lagging behind for the last 20 years. And then for the tattoo, the end of that paragraph, the tattoo practitioners are no longer licensed. It's just the establishment, so that's why we're crossing out the practitioners.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
When you say that the practitioners are no longer licensed, is that a state licensure that was at one time,
yeah,
and that's been rescinded?
Yeah, they're no longer required to have a license.
How recent?
Just the establishment.
How recent is that?
It's been a couple of years. I mean, we're cleaning up some older language. It's not just recent. Four, five?
The health department along monitors, yeah, their licensure. We only license the establishment.
Right.
Right.
But that's required.
But I understand that. But what the point I'm asking Lori is, it's actually not licensed through the state of Wisconsin anymore, or it is still a licensed entity to be a tattoo person?
I couldn't answer that.
You say you...
They're no longer required to have a license.
By the state?
By the state.
Okay.
Yeah.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Yes. Then the next one is on page 16-6, and all the way through, these are all the fee changes for the next, all the way through to the end, actually, to 16-15, or 16-16 is your last page. So these show all the different fee changes for the establishments.
Yeah,
117. So it went from, I know it's kind of hard to.
It doesn't read well.
Okay, so which one are you?
Well, any of them.
Oh, okay. So, like, for example, the very first one, the packaged food, the what was 181, it is now 199. What is crossed out was the older fee that was in the ordinance. And this is our proposed for this coming July 1st, 199. And then the B for food preparation, actually the state went to a three-tier system. So we're removing the one cost of the 420, and I'm on page 16-6. And it goes into simple, moderate, and complex, and that's determined by their type of entity and their sales. So it's gone to a three-tier system. I mean, all the rest of the pages are all the fee changes.
All right. Discussion?
Yeah. Wait, are the price changes before the 5%, and then the 5% would be added this year or the next year?
No, this is with the 5%.
Okay.
before, and this begins July 1st of 2014. Their license is 1 year, but it goes from July to June, and that's the state license. So this will be, all of these fees are effective July 1 of 2014.
Bill?
On 16-7, we're looking at B, item number 2, extension of licensed premises, which extends its food service to the outside and operates 1 day or less per license year. So I'm thinking of the type of thing where you've got a restaurant, there's an outdoor festival, 4th of July, Labor Day, whatever, what have you. And they're going to pay this fee, and they can have that for 1 day. Is that proper interpretation?
Yes. Okay. It's $42. I don't know if
so in the sense that they wanted to operate on most of the holidays or most of the festivals, they'd have to pay a $42 fee every time.
Every day?
Every day.
Yes.
Yeah, the $42, yes.
Pay $38 now.
So I'm clear on that. It just seems to me a bit, I don't know, burdensome, I guess you'd think, if the place wanted to engage in even something once a month during the summer season. Not saying it's out of line or improper, it just seems that.
And again, this is because the inspectors go out for every event that they are at, you know, every day, because things change from day to day. If you have a 3-day event, the inspectors are going to go out every day during
to each one of the license holders?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
So it's really.
It's not just a one time.
It's not a carte blanche where here's your paper and.
No. They're going to go out every day and inspect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion to Supervisor Molinaro move to approve, and is there a second?
Second.
Supervisor Grady, further discussion on the proposal? Mark?
Just a comment. You know, I think this goes hand in hand with the balance of the permit fees and costs that we looked at that's been in the works for quite some time. It kind of goes back to, I guess, the last time it came to the county board, and again, we just had some arbitrary increase, so I applaud the effort that went into taking a look at it, understanding the costs, where the costs lie, and how you allocate those figures for each permit, and also understand then that we've implemented a new software.
Yes.
Which is all in line with what the state is looking yes. for, so job well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we'll circulate this for your signature, and then we'll move on to the next item, which is a equipment grant from the Department of Military Affairs from the Sheriff's Department, and that'll be presented by Captain Anthony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a resolution to accept a grant for the bomb squad from the Department of Justice. It's for some equipment for disruption equipment in order to disrupt suspicious packages. It's a grant that was applied for by the bomb squad, and it was awarded to the state by DOJ to the bomb squad, to Kenosha County for the bomb squad.
All right, discussion? John?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the proposition? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you. And that will bring us to the next item on the sale of the Crown Victoria, and you're going to present that too.
I'm sorry, I've already passed a copy of the resolution around. You,
yes.
you have the original resolution that was signed by or approved by
Laurie.
Judiciary and Law last night.
Laurie, do you have that?
Yeah, I think that's right there.
Yes.
Does he want it?
He wanted to know if the original was there.
Oh, yes, I have it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay.
No, the memo is before the finance committee tonight to sell one of our Crown Vics that normally would be auctioned off, and instead Gateway had requested to purchase one of the cars that we were going to auction off. They selected this car of one of the 15 that we sent to auction this year or last year actually, and. We requested some history from purchasing to see what kind of prices that we got for squads comparable to this in the past, and price of $4,500 was given, offered to Gateway if they wanted to purchase this squad. They agreed on the price of $4,500, and we're looking for the approval tonight to sell the squad to Gateway for $4,500.
And this requires only committee approval, not board approval, correct?
That's why it's a memo.
Yeah. All right, just discussion.
Yes.
Yes, Ron.
Kind of cheap. Good price. I'd like to buy a couple of them myself.
You can, you're welcome to go up to the auction again.
Oh, okay. You know what? I got this on the internet about the Crown Victoria 2010 price report. This car's got what? How many thousand miles?
85.
On it? Huh?
85,000.
85,000. Because according to here, it says anywhere from 7,700 to 9,500.
The auction, when we sent our other cars to auction, is this a squad car you're talking about, or
yeah,
just a regular car? Regular car or squad car?
No, this is the one you're selling, right?
Is it a regular car or is it a squad
car?
No,
that's a regular car.
Okay. So these are squad cars. These have got holes in them, and these have been used by deputies.
Oh, they got holes in them.
Yeah,
so what do they want them for?
A comparable car that we sent to auction last year, it was a 2010 Crown Vic with 98,000 miles on it. At auction, it brought $5,200, of which we paid $494 in auction fees. So it was just under $5,000, well, it was between $45,000 and $5,000 that the county did get for a comparable squad. Now, this car also sustained damage. It's been repaired, but if you went on Carfax and checked this car, it would show that there's several thousand dollars. So we're not trying to give it away to Gateway. We purchasing came up with a fair price compared to what we've gotten from auctions in the past.
Enough.
Further discussion? There's a motion by Supervisor Kubicki to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing, Mark?
Just going to make the point. We are needing approval to sell a car for $4,500, which I think is the right price. You can't go on the Blue Book and look at a sheriff's car, right? You drive it 7 days a week, three shifts.
They're coming back at us.
I got to suspect you're not driving it like they are at Sunday church. However, here we are again, right? We can bring a $250,000 unit into this county. Needs nothing but apparently, some general accepting accounting practice effort to log it into our coffers, but we can't sell a car to a technical college without the approval of the Finance Committee. And if I recall, members around this table seem to think that's okay. That's all I have.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
All right, Will, this still requires your signature as Finance Committee, just as a memo. All right, we'll move on to the next item is a grant, and that's being presented by whom?
Emergency Management.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Members of the committee? I'm here to present a grant, or request a grant. You accept a grant for a 2014 public-private collaboration workshop. It's an effort put together to present a workshop for a public-private partnership to present preparedness and training to various area businesses and public entities in the amount of $2,200.
All right. I don't know that you've been here before. I don't recall you here, but you are Sergeant Ben.
Lieutenant Ben.
Lieutenant. Formerly Sergeant.
That's a big promotion.
And if you're not familiar with all the committee members, starting with John O'Day and Mark Molinaro and Aaron Kohlmeyer, Ron Frederick, Bill Grady, Nick Kubicki, and myself, Terry Rose, and we have two youth members surrounding Ron Frederick there.
Nice to meet you all.
All right. Is that the completion of your presentation?
Well, I'd just like to give you a little information about the public-private partnership and what this is all about. This started long before I came to the position here. It started under a grant about 2 or 3 years ago from Wisconsin Emergency Management to promote collaboration between private private businesses and public entities where they can get together and collaborate, talk about things that affect their business regarding preparedness, power outages, threats, OSHA, OSHA issues. And this grant ran out some years ago, but they saw such value in it that they formed a committee and kept this thing going now for about 2 or 3 years on their own, with their own volunteer time and money to hold these, for a better term, I'll call them working lunches. It's been so successful that actually WEM reached out to us, and we're one of 4 counties that were asked to participate in this grant. So they had some money available, and they made this money available to more successful public-private partnerships throughout the state. We are one of those. This is more than just the two-hour training that they usually hold once a month. This is more of an involved workshop where they go into details about business plans and protocols on how to deal with certain situations. A facilitator from Madison will come down and facilitate the exercise. It lasts about 4 to 6 hours. It involves some materials, some handouts, and a lunch, and that's the extent of it. So it's kind of a little more involved training for these businesses to get together and benefit from.
Very good. Discussion, questions?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, members.
All right, the next item is the UW Extension budget amendment to accept a grant. And who's presenting that? Jim?
Yep.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. I'm sitting in for Teddy Winnett, who is on, had to go to a seminar today out of town. This resolution is to accept a grant from the University of Wisconsin East Metro Region to develop a digital platform for this book. I passed some of these around. If you didn't get one, I might have a few more extras. Right now, this book is put together by UW Extension. It is on their website in a PDF form. What we want to do is we're going to hire somebody to come in with this money and develop a searchable website that both the vendors who are in here can update, and it's more readily accessible to consumers. They can just go in and type in batteries, for example, and we'll tell them how to get rid of their batteries. So I'll take the money, we'll go out to bid or an RFP to hire somebody to come and develop that website. And it's $7,750.
All right, is there a discussion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, first item of Public Works is Bird City status.
The birds, huh?
All right. Big Bird himself.
Public Works Facilities Committee is asking to seek approval for the Kenosha County to get acquire Bird City, Wisconsin status. The city already is, but we're looking to get the county into it and get Bowen Recreation Area and the Pringle Nature Center and everybody together to do one celebration on the third Saturday of September and proclaim that International Migratory Bird Day here in Kenosha County. There is a little money involved. I think there's $100 a year dues. Ooh. So that is
what
it
is. Did y'all chip in for that or what?
Yeah.
All right. Any other discussion on this? Your city is.
They already have the status.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
No comments.
Bird County.
Any discussion?
What exactly does the status do? Do we get any benefits from it, or just status?
Yeah, it's more advertising and public awareness of birds.
Okay.
And emphasis on what we do in Kenosha County as far as the Pringle Nature Center and the recreation area and places like that. So,
what types
little signs we can put up on the road.
What types of birds are we inviting in?
The flying kind.
This is migratory waterfowl. Is that the migratory waterfowl?
Oh, migratory.
Okay.
Not just water.
And I would think with the variety of lakes, streams, and so forth, we have a pretty conducive habitat for that. I mean, is this where they would stop and rest during their migration? I mean, is that kind of the plan, or is this different?
Yeah, well, it's typically celebrated in May, but we're timing it with the fall birds and the Pringle Nature Center Fall Fun Fest. So it'll be a pretty good program with live birds of prey and other things going on for the public to come and view.
Sit in a catbird seat, huh? Uh-huh. We'll be sitting in a catbird seat, huh?
Yeah.
They are looking for host families, if anyone's
I'll take an osprey.
In my backyard.
Okay. All right, any other comments?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thanks for watching.
I got to say,
John, that's the first. All right, are you going to present the snowmobile?
That's the first.
Good enough for the city, it's good enough for us, right?
Absolutely.
Snowmobile resolution?
Yep. This is, a request for grant monies to operate the state-funded portion of the Kenosha County Snowmobile Trail. We've been doing this now for over 40 years. The money hasn't changed, but what it basically does is it pays rent payments to the landowners that the trail crosses, and it also pays the snowmobile clubs for grooming and maintenance. There's no cost to the county other than we just administer the money the fund to operate the trail.
$19,225. On page 2 of your committee member. Discussion?
No, to approve.
Second? Is there a second?
Okay.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And
before you leave, John, just a quick question. Is it too early to tell what the severity of this winter, if it's going to have some effect on the ash borer? Are we having any discussions about that, or have you heard anything?
Yeah, I've heard that, and I know that when it gets below a certain temperature and holds there for so many days in a row, it has a direct effect on the insect population. How much it affects emerald ash borer, I don't know.
Okay.
I suspect it does some, but I don't know what you're saying.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bart Larson said,
go ahead.
Who it is? Bart Larson.
He says it doesn't affect UW Park Side.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We'll move on then to item number 17, the Brookside. This is the emergency government again. Or, Jim, you're going to present this. Go ahead. This is a $6,500 grant from the Division of Emergency Services to research cost savings, efficiencies relative to utility service spending at our facilities.
Yes, we're seeking your approval to accept a $6,500 grant from the Wisconsin Division of Energy Services. We put together a little group out at Public Works consisting of people from UW Extension. We've got some of our custodians, myself, Frank Martinelli, who's the engineer. We have two people from We Energies. And the focus of this group is going to be to examine the usage of electricity and gasoline. Maybe we'll get into fuel. We haven't gotten that far yet. And through using a website that the We Energies is providing us, we can go in and study utility usage at our buildings and compare it to other buildings to find out if we're using energy properly and hopefully come up with some savings. UW Extension found this grant for $6,500 that we can use to hire an intern or some college students to come in to start developing this database for us, load it up with this information, train our KCC staff to update this after the $6,500 goes away, and we can continue to monitor our usage. And we're going to start off with this and keep this new group going, and hopefully we'll realize some utility savings because we spend over $2 million a year in utilities. So that's what this grant is for.
Discussion?
Yeah, how does this, simply monitoring it, the result in savings? What's your plan for
when you put all the information in, the size of the building, how much is being used, and other information, it will tell you whether or not you are being efficient. And they can, through We Energies, they'll make give you recommendations on how to lower your fuel bills. So this is really just the start of something that we hope will be an ongoing effort. So I hope that answered your question.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, is there a motion to approve and accept?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
It passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll move on to the Brookside Memo Capital Outlay, and Laurie Stage will present that.
Yeah, it's just a memo to finance. It does not require signatures. What happened is there were two items in the adopted budget, and we fear we got them switched, the items totals. So the Alto Sham was originally at 25 and then the steam kettle at 15. The Alto Sham did come in under budget, and the steam kettle came in a little bit over budget. So together with those two, we're still on target in budget. There's no additional needed. So we just wanted to, because it's listed separately in the budget book, we needed to bring that to your attention. It's just a memo.
So there's no action is required?
No action is required.
Cool. Any questions, comments about that? All right, thank you. And we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is a Corporation Council resolution regarding the sale of tax deed land to the city and discussion on downtown Wi-Fi. So, Joe, you're going to present that.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm actually going to turn it over in just a second to Treasurer Jacobson, but the committee has the resolution before it. I know that everyone is probably fairly well aware of the situation regarding the Heritage House, also known as the Oaks Club. I asked Treasurer Jacobson to speak briefly about the history of the property as well as the current financial status.
I think most of you have been on this committee long enough that we've had at least a couple of discussions on what's going on with that property. I have to be honest with you, we first started thinking about ways to try to help this property in 2008 by taking it by tax deed and trying to come up with some sort of a deal to make it so that we're not going to bleed money on it any longer. I'd almost given up hope that something was going to come. So it's been at least a couple years in the making for this particular process. I think what you see before you is the resolution, and you can tell that in base amount of taxes, what we paid out to all of the entities, including ourselves, is almost $109,000, $108,828.57 over the years as we've been going back and forth on this property. The deal that they had worked out was that we would get an upfront payment, and then if the deal goes through, we get the rest of our tax money that we're out. As many of you are aware, we've had several properties that have been in sad conditions similar to this. Probably guess there's asbestos and lead and all those fun things that will need to be abated as part of the process of helping this building. And generally, we get nothing out of it. So honestly, this is a good deal for us. And I think we could have done far worse than what we're doing. So any questions on it? I know most of you know the details. It's been in the paper. And it's definitely been a source of continued discussion in the community. So.
Discussion. Roger.
You're going to start the tax deed right after we do this resolution?
It's actually been started already. The process has been started. We've done everything except for we're waiting for that final advertising that we had to do. That was 90 days to expire, and they'll expire within a couple of weeks. So after that is complete, if we have agreed on everything, anytime after that, we'll be able to take it and be done with it right away.
And we get our money from them right away?
The agreement calls for a court process to ensure that all other liens or claims to the property are extinguished.
So normally we would just finish it. This time we have to do an additional process. There are some IRS liens and other things that the developer was concerned about, so we wanted to make sure that we cleared those up.
So that we can provide clear title to the city, they can provide it to the developer. The agreement, as negotiated, says within 30 days, 30 business days, of the final judgment from the court, we will convey it to the city.
I think I heard that, yeah.
Further discussion? Mark.
I've seen that the mayor has just walked in. I had had conversation with him. I guess I'd just like to get a little bit of a sense of what the proposal is.
When you say what the proposal is?
For the property.
Well, and the mayor is probably better able to speak to it than I would be. My understanding is that the city has been in negotiations with a developer who is intending to bring a boutique hotel to that property. Again, frankly, that is somewhat outside of what I've been working on. My piece of it has been working on the agreement to take the property and convey it to the city.
And I guess my point was through the chairman to the mayor and whomever he's brought with him, if we can get a little bit of sense of what
Aaron,
the
do you want to make
is,
a presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I got to tell you folks, we were number 18 on the agenda. If this was a city meeting and we were number 18, we'd be about 9 o'clock. And it caught us by surprise here that this went so quickly. I guess is the discussion on the issue of the Heritage House and the agreement between the city and the county. We've been working with Gorman, and I've got Ted Matkin, who is principal from Gorman, the state of Wisconsin here. Ted is an attorney. And we've been working for probably a year and a half on this discussion and getting to this point where the county would transfer the property to the city. County would be made whole or at least collect $51,000, I believe. Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, if I bring up, because I don't know all of the details like the attorneys do, but at this point, when this agreement is finalized, then the county would get $51,000, which part of the back taxes. If Gorman picks up the option on the property sometime in the next 6 months, and they've got until October, I believe, to do that, then the county would get the rest of their up to $109,000. In return, the city at this point, the city would get the building, okay? If nothing happens, the city's on the hook for the building, which is probably, at that point, a knockdown, $300,000 to $400,000 liability. The county is off the hook at that point. If Gorman exercises their option, and this is part of the deal with the city, then the county would get the money. Gorman would be on the hook for the building at that point. So that has to happen sometime in the next several months. I don't see a downside for the county here. We have the opportunity here to develop 10 to $13 million dollars in tax base on a property that right now is a liability for everyone. I did bring the downtown plan along with us, and one of the top 20 points in the downtown plan was historic buildings and pointedly the Heritage House. Find some creative ways to save the Heritage House and make something out of it. Ted can speak to the plan, but a boutique hotel, 15 rooms, suites in the building, and another 60 or so rooms on the space, on the green space to the south of the building. So we see this as a big plus for the city, certainly a big plus for the county because they're going to get their money out of it and get out of the liability of owning this building. So, here for questions. Ted may be able to speak to greater detail to the development.
Sure.
Although it's still a kind of a moving target, I have to say.
Committee discussion, questions? John?
I'll just move the resolution.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Did you second it, Mark?
Yeah,
Mark did it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't second.
So on that date, Ron.
Oh, you're in second.
All right, further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, it passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next item, the Corporation Counsel, legal opinion regarding drug forfeiture funds. If you recall at the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I was wondering if I could. I noticed that part of that resolution you had a discussion on Wi-Fi, which we didn't talk about. And I know that's as long as it's on there, I suppose we could legally talk about it.
We can talk about it, and if you, I didn't raise it, and wasn't that alternative resolution, which no one wanted to discuss, so I pressed on.
But as long as it's on the agenda, I guess I could
certainly talk about it. Talk about it.
And from what I understand, there may be an alternative proposal that the city might have that would be less expensive for everyone. And I don't know if anybody's working on that or not, so I guess that's what I'm asking.
I can say a few words if you
want. Yeah, I would appreciate it.
One of the reasons why I brought the downtown plan along is I went back and searched through the plan to see if Wi-Fi was mentioned as a point of or as one of the things that needed to be done. And on the second to the last page at one of the table discussions, Wi-Fi was mentioned and listed as one of the a good thing for downtown, but it never made the top 90, it never made the top 24 that I spoke about earlier as a project that should be taken up immediately. The Heritage House did, the streetcars, the streetscape, there's a whole list, whole menu of projects. There's 24 that made the top, made the A-list, so to speak. And we're in the process on half of those. Some of them have been accomplished already. So we're making a lot of progress. Now, the Wi-Fi, it wasn't in our consciousness before the county had brought it up. And we went back and did a little research on Wi-Fi and what other cities are doing with Wi-Fi. And it turns out not a lot. So looking at the options, perhaps like Chicago has Wi-Fi in Millennium Park. Milwaukee's got Wi-Fi in a couple of parks in the downtown, so we're kind of focusing on perhaps that might be the way to go, where we can make a capital investment, one-time capital investment, and fire up some Wi-Fi in the downtown. Maybe not on the grand scale that was proposed, but that might be the direction that we're going in. But it's not ready for prime time yet.
Yeah, the point I'm making is that, that we didn't put money in our budget, but if there's some kind of alternative plan that would solve that, we may not have to invest our money, and you may save some money by having ongoing costs.
If the county could save $100,000 by not having to put in the CapEx.
Okay. When the board passed this, and maybe you can correct us on the discussion, I think when the county board passed the $100,000, man, I think we all assumed that the city had agreed to pay for the operations cost. Now, we never heard from you on that, and perhaps we should have heard from you, but I think the assumption was when the executive put it in the budget, we assumed that you were going to pay for it and that there was, the city, and that there was kind of a joint agreement. Now, we never really cross-examined anybody to find out and never saw the documents, but that was the assumption. Are we incorrect? There was no discussions, there was no agreement. We just put it in the budget based on the recommendation of the executive without getting your input or approval?
Well, the county, or the city council would have had to approve anything. And we got the MOU on the 17th of January. We had a very brief discussion between the county executive and I in the fall, and then never circled back on it. And I was probably remiss in not circling back, but we had Anderson, Kennel, the budget, Meyer, and all these other things circling at the time, so it just kind of got put on the back burner on our end. So it wasn't revisited until after the first of the year. And I don't want to point fingers at anyone. It just didn't happen.
Well, I think we assumed, if I may, Mr. Chairman, we assumed that there had been discussions with the city on it.
I think we assumed that it had, that there was some sort of understanding that we were going to do the capital costs, the city was going to do the operations. Now we have a legal opinion from Mr. Cardamone that the county cannot pay for operations on an annual basis. We can pay for capital costs. We want Joe to have that, if you want to make that more specific, Joe, I'll give you some time to do that. But in short, he reported to me and to the executive and to a few others that, in fact, the city is the only one that could do this as a public entity, or, of course, some private organization could do it as well, but the county could not. So we certainly wouldn't want to spend $100,000 and nobody operates it. But just again, I think we wouldn't put it in our budget at $100,000 if we...
I just wanted
if
to clear
we
the
didn't
air tonight.
Expect the
I wanted
city
to clear
to
the air tonight because I had a discussion with the mayor, and then I found this out. I didn't. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else know anything about it?
Well, to be clear, we're not talking about two similar installations of Wi-Fi at two vastly different costs. You're talking about two very different installations of Wi-Fi, which results in the difference in cost.
I know that one is more.
I'm personally just pleased that we didn't tie this into the previous resolution at this point in time. And I think that would have been probably not the right way to go, and not the right way to say to a new interested party coming into the city, county of Kenosha to do business, that that's how we're going to operate. So, but at the same time, I still support importance of it, the need for it. I certainly hope there's some way that we're going to be able to cooperate and partner with the city to do it on a grander scale than what I believe the mayor's talking about currently. Because at the end of the day, you're hearing from downtown businesses that it's important. I don't know that there's any opposition. The bid has come forward and said they support it. The downtown director has come forward and said that she is in support of the CABA. So we have all of the entities who have a vested interest in the area saying it's the right way to go. And I would certainly hope the city and the county are going to be able to find a way to make that happen.
Let me ask you this, Mayor. You're not willing to, just straight out, you're not willing to, or the city's not willing to pay for the operations if the county installs the capital cost.
No, I think we've got a better way of doing it at this point.
What don't you like about the county's proposition?
I don't want to get into it.
Yes.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. I was alderman on the city when we developed the marina, and they were always looking for ways to chill the marina up. And it seems to me Wi-Fi is so much superior than data transfer on your phones. That would be a good selling point for your marina, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it help the city out?
I'm told the marina is already Wi-Fi.
They already have Wi-Fi. I didn't know that. Thank you.
One of the thoughts that we had was it should be more of a private sector. There are businesses in the downtown that offer free Wi-Fi now as part of their business plan, as a way of competing. And this system would be for outdoor use, which certainly limits it here in wonderful Wisconsin. And that was another point, you know, so.
So that, what you're saying is you'll do the whole thing on your own, under your specifications?
We could. we can do it.
It's not in your budget, though, to do it?
No, it's such a small CapEx that we can find it somewhere, find it in my salary.
Bill?
Regardless of how it's implemented, I would have to think that it's a benefit, it's a boon to the downtown. We see quite a bit of usage in the summertime, of course, from our residents, from people who travel near and far to be near our lakefront. And I think we're all on the same page of trying to have downtown Kenosha be a year-round destination. That's what we'd like to see. Take a look at these ice sculptures. People come downtown, it's very good. This is another piece of the puzzle that will help us have that year-round downtown presence. So, you know, I hate to see the, I don't want to call it bickering, but the discussion going along the lines of, well, we could do it this way. I would think that no matter how it's implemented, some degree of cooperation between the city and the county would be a good thing, a good place to start. Regardless, though, I think it should be not glossed over and done on a small piecemeal basis. I'd like to see the grand thing. I'd like to see the whole thing wired up and rock and roll. My comment.
Further discussion?
Well, just along the lines, I think it's important, and I want to make sure that it's heard loud and clearly, and if it isn't just verbalizing, I think we've demonstrated that the county, in fact, I got a little bit of flack during the budget process when this Wi-Fi issue came up from some West End supervisors, mm-hmm. that, you know, why is the county so committed to downtown Kenosha? And my response was, well, I guess go back and show me when we were previously committed in this way, or in any way for that matter, to downtown. And I think there has been a demonstrated effort, commitment, not only with dollars and cents, which certainly we have done through CABA, in terms of the development of the downtown plan and some of the early initiatives that we're talking about down there. But at the end of the day, a win for the county is a win for the city, a win for the city is a win for the county. And, you know, I want, my tenure here is limited, right? I'm done in a month and a half. But I am absolutely convinced that the commitment to downtown Kenosha and the county's continuous involvement in whatever way we can partner with the city has to continue. And there has to be a way that we can continue to cooperate it will go hand in hand with all of the development that we're seeing on the western edge of the city. You have to have a vibrant downtown that's headed in the right direction to continue to attract the Kennels and to continue to attract the Amazons, etc. We all know it's sitting in this room. So this issue of Wi-Fi, it has to be bigger than just wiring up the museum or museums. And it has to be bigger than just saying everything east of the plaza, or we're only going to wire up Harbor Park. We talk about not wanting to be outside in the wintertime, or no one's going to be using it in the winter sitting outside. Well, you had a heck of a weekend downtown with the winter fest that they just had, right?
Yeah.
And when I go to Harbor Park, I don't see very many people sitting on a park bench wishing they had a laptop so they could hook up to Wi-Fi, nor do I see anybody walking with their laptop in their hand or their phone in their hand searching the web either. So let's not say this is somehow going to benefit Harbor Park other than maybe the vendors who are there. So you have to think bigger scale here, so that when we sit in these conversations with the companies that are looking to locate in Kenosha County or the city of Kenosha, and they say, what is it you're going to do for our families that we're going to move here? What are you going to do for the kids that we're going to educate in your schools? Hopefully we get that straightened out, and educate in your school system to keep them here. That's all part of it. And I don't think, Mayor, with all due respect, that you keep them here by wiring up the museums. I don't think you attract by wiring up the museums. I use that phrase just based on our conversation, so I'm not trying to... I'm talking with you. I want to cooperate here in some way, not down to your thought process or your plan. But really, that's how you respond. And we heard it over and over again. I sat on that downtown development committee, that developed the plan. We heard it over and over and over again. Right? It's about providing a quality of life, so that you can say these companies are trying to attract, that we seem to be doing one heck of a job of. Here's what we provide, not just today, but what we're going to provide tomorrow. But we need to be open to that. We need to be receptive to it, and we need to find a way to make it happen together.
Just to make clear, though, without somebody paying for the operations,
I understand.
The county's proposal is dead. Mm-hmm. And Joe Cardamone, if you want to, he can explain why we can't pay for it. That was my original proposition to the county executive, is that the city doesn't want to pay, the county ought to pay for the operations annually. And then Joe Cardamone researched that, and at least it's his legal opinion that and the executive respects that, I do too, that the county can't pay for it. So if nobody's willing to pay for it, it's end of story. Joe, do you want to say anything on that legal opinion as to why the county legally cannot pay for the operations but can pay for capital costs? Joe?
I mean, the short answer to the question is that, as everyone is aware, the county is a creation of the state. Unlike other municipalities, counties are only provided with those powers that have been explicitly granted to them by the state legislature through the statutes. The ability to do this is not one of the powers that have been granted to us. Other municipalities are authorized by statute to set up and operate these types of systems. Counties are included.
Jeff, did you have something?
Yeah, I'd like to thank the mayor for coming and addressing this committee along with Representative Gorman. And I agree with Supervisor Molinaro and other comments that were made about the importance of it down there. And I certainly don't think that anything that's been said here is cut in stone and limited to anything. We can certainly continue to partner together and work together to come to a goal that we feel is best for everybody. So I don't think we're limited in any way. They have their ideas. They're working on things. I talked to a couple aldermen, and they're searching through some ideas. We've got certainly our plan we laid in place as a county board, and we voted for it, I think, unanimously. So we're definitely behind that. We'd like to see the downtown get the Wi-Fi, and I think you're only as good as some of the weakest parts, and for the last couple of years, the downtown has really been coming back, and I'm really proud of it. But as a county, that is, you are exactly right. We're tied together down there. I mean, as city and county together are invested in the downtown. So I don't think they're going to be quick to discard anything. Certainly, we've made our point known. We can continue to work together to get the best possible case for Wi-Fi downtown. I don't think anything's limited, and I appreciate them coming and talking about the Heritage House, and that's going to be certainly an asset to getting that out of our, you know, that out of our bookwork, as Terry would say. So let's just continue to work together. For the last few years, we've been working well with the city, and let's continue that. So, thank you.
Just one final comment.
One more final word for me, unless somebody has a question. I'll just go back to the downtown study. That Wi-Fi had one mention in there. That study took 6 months of community input, political input. Wi-Fi didn't rise to the top, barely had a mention. And all these other things did. And then when we started to do our research, we found that other cities were in pace with Kenosha. We don't have Wi-Fi, and neither do they. So I'm not sure. Somebody's going to convince me of the value of this, and certainly not at the level of $100,000. So that's where we were working from.
Yeah, of course, that's our 100. Doesn't Racine have Wi-Fi, and Waukesha have Wi-Fi, and Madison have Wi-Fi?
Appleton.
I believe so.
Well, tell you.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I think the problem I have is that these discussions should have been, by the county executive, should have been done before we got this proposal, because I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I thought they had done, because otherwise why would he put it in there? So, you know, we put the cart before the horse, I guess, is what we did here. We put the money in the budget, not having any conversation with the city, I guess.
I don't know. Further discussion?
If it was there, I didn't hear it. Maybe somebody else here did, but I didn't.
All right, further discussion?
Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you all for the discussion, and we'll press on to the next item on the agenda. But before they do that, Lori wants us to revisit this memo and would request an approval to modify the capital outlay, this whole outlay, and it only requires the committee's approval. So do you want to propose, somebody want to approve 17?
At Brookside's.
Oh. Item number 17.
Just to accept the memo.
So I would make a motion to accept the memo presented by Lori Staves this evening.
Anything
February
further?
13th.
Any further discussion?
We're all legal now.
All those in favor say aye.
Second. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, it was.
All right, that's approved. Does that require a signature on
no.
your memo?
No. No,
okay.
No signature required.
Recording in the minutes is sufficient.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to number 19, where we were going to leave off with Jennifer. And she has the legal opinion. That was circulated.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
And I assume that was read. Do you want to expand on that or reiterate it, or would you prefer to respond to questions?
Yes, just to, good evening, Chairman, members of the committee. I did distribute a copy of the memo, the legal opinion from our office, which answered a question that was brought up at the last Finance Committee. That question was whether or not the board had unlawfully delegated some of its legislative authority by the language in the budget resolution. As we said in the opinion, we do not believe there was any unlawful delegation of legislative authority. The language that's contained therein is on page 2 of the opinion. Essentially, it gives the finance administrator the discretion to make accounts, budget modifications, to make sure that the books essentially conform with the generally accepted accounting principles. I don't believe that the board delegated anything that it shouldn't have done at that point. And if we do not allow the finance administrator to do that, there could be some dire consequences, which we set forth in the opinion. I think it's pretty straightforward, but I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone does have.
Any discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll press on with the agenda. This requires no action.
I do, Mr. Chairman. Right, well, I'm just trying to formulate in my head how to ask the question. And unfortunately, I don't have that language in front of me.
What's this?
I'm looking specifically for page, the language in the budget resolution.
That's the language.
So, and again, I get that I'm not an accountant here, mm-hmm. or an attorney or anything of the like, but Minnesota Service Director shall be authorized to reclassify financial transactions and create accounts and budget modifications when this is necessary to ensure that the county financial records are maintained in conformity with GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles. So I read that just as a layperson. And it says to me, you're making minor adjustments to make sure that an entry that may or may not have been entered correctly, incorrectly, or otherwise simply meets generally accepted accounting practices. That is very, very benign language. and very simply understood language on its face. So my struggle with it is we are saying that language allows us to make I believe you just said budget modifications. So again, just on the surface, budget modification requires a committee vote, a board vote, and typically 2/3 for a budget modification. And depending on what it is, it could require 3/4. Am I correct? So I don't understand how the language in the budget resolution, which simply is allowing the finance director, to make GAAP adjustments, equates to the ability to make a budget modification. And that's where my disconnect is with the opinion. And let me just, one final point on that is, if in fact that was the intention of that language, I'd like to go back to when that was adopted. Because if it was adopted under my tenure, I had no clue that was what it was allowing us to do. My assumption, it was simply allowing us to do exactly what it reads, which is to make simple adjustments to make sure you conform with GAAP.
And again, my understanding, and based on conversations that we had with Dave Kurtzen, is that that language or similar language has been in the budget for about the last 20 years, roughly. And essentially, what's important to understand is that
I didn't know any
we are not.
20 years ago.
Well, I wasn't practicing law 20 years ago. But what has to be important is to understand what's happening. The finance director is not given the authority to make expenditures. He's not approving transactions. What he's doing is essentially accounting for something that has been done. So to make sure that the books line up, to make sure that it is accounted for in the budget. Let's say that there is a donation that is made, which is a separate issue, and the auditors say, this is an asset to Kenosha County. Dave is not deciding whether or not to accept it. He's not deciding whether or not it should be rejected. He's accounting for it. And so it's showing up as an item on the budget because it's now an asset of Kenosha County. And he has to do it to make sure that it comports with the GAAP principles. And so, again, the wording, I understand because you hear budget modifications, and I understand what you're thinking and how that's normally done. But it's not what's happening here. He doesn't have discretion. He's not deciding whether or not to accept it, reject it. He's simply accounting for it. And to do that, it means it has to show up somewhere as an asset to Kenosha County. And we tried to put forth examples in the opinion. Let's say somebody donates a piano to Brookside. That's a simple, you know, example. Somebody looks at it, says, this is now an asset. You need to account for it. It's going to show up as something that wasn't budgeted. It wasn't addressed in the budget. It's technically a modification, but it's not the type that you're used to seeing. It's not the type you're used to addressing. But that's what it is. And again, when you look at it and you keep it in perspective, it's not unlawful to allow them to do it. The cases we cited, the Attorney General opinion, say that it is within the county board's purview to do that, especially when you're talking about complex matters such as accounting and principles and how to account for it. The board didn't give up anything that it wasn't supposed to. That's our opinion.
Well, I think now, and I'm not tying this into the issue with the KDOG. That is clearly how it surfaced to the degree that it has right now. But you can separate the two. There is a piano that was at Brookside or Kemper, wherever it was, that we now own. Somehow it showed up, we now own it. Right? So, number of scenarios, and I don't agree when you say that just accepting a county asset and booking the county asset per GAAP is not a budget modification, because if it results in having to insure it or having to maintain it, who authorized that expenditure, which is an ongoing expenditure? So my only point is that is what this language in the budget resolution has allowed. So to suggest that it isn't creating the unilateral decision of the, because the finance director, Mr. Gertzen, isn't accepting or rejecting it, he's simply accounting for it, then I want to know who is accepting or rejecting the ongoing costs of the P&O at Kemper. I get it small, but this is where, right, this is where the big things turn into problems. So I think there's a problem with this language. I think there is a concern about how the county accepts gifts and donations. We have Brookside, where it happens, right, on a somewhat regular basis in any event, or can. You have Kemper, you've got County Park. Let's go back to the construction of the dugouts and ball diamonds at Brightondale, right? What would have been the case had this group, the Little League group, who did one heck of a job for the county, mind you, through an awful arduous approval process before they did anything in that park, right? It wasn't just something that they did, but let's assume they just went out there one day and built a couple of dugouts and planted and built a couple of ball diamonds and then turned them over to the county and said, just go ahead and gap those. If you will. And then we're going to maintain them. So we have to get an understanding of what the language in the budget policy allows the budget director to do. We may be able to rely on the opinion here and say that it's legal. I'm certainly, I don't have any position to argue your opinion. At the same time, I'm telling you today that I don't think that's what was intended, certainly by the county board. And here we are now understanding, as we grow as a county, that we have gifts and donations that come into this county in any number of ways. We ought to get our arms around that policy and understand how we're going to address that going forward. Because it is a budget modification. Every single year, we ensure and we maintain whatever it is we accept. Or whatever it is the finance director doesn't accept, or does accept, or he's neutral on the issue. He's simply gapping it. And they can't continue that way. It's not right.
If you recall a few years ago, and I'm not sure how many, maybe Lori can tell us, remind me, we did establish a Brookside Endowment Foundation to receive gifts. You remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when was that?
I think it was 2011.
Joe?
I have something to say, correct, that there is a policy specifically for Brookside for donations and gifts. And as I think Supervisor Molinaro is aware, we have started the process of reviewing the question of, I guess not really do we need a donations general policy for the county, but really starting on the principle that we do, what is it going to look like? That process has begun. I'm working with finance. I met with Mr. Geertsen yesterday. Someone is already beginning to compile for me models as well as what other counties are doing, so we can begin that conversation to decide how we should be going forward.
I think it's necessary.
And they have the policy. We did pass along the Brookside Endowment policy that the board adopted and gave that authority to the trustees, actually.
I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right, further discussion?
Yeah, just one other thing. We have an example. We have a fund out there. I remember this from years ago, a Max Kulik fund. Remember that? And every year or two, when they accumulate enough interest from that, they go out and buy something. They don't come to us and say, we're going to go out and buy a TV or something, do they?
Correct, and I believe that's because, and I want to stress that it's not a question I've looked at closely. Lori may be able to tell me if I'm going wrong here. But I believe it's because the county board has given the authority to the Brookside trustees to determine how to expend those funds.
Yes.
So they can buy anything they want, but then we have to assume responsibility for that, though, right?
Okay. And so I would assume that then it becomes part of the ongoing budget process.
Okay.
So the next year, as the budget's done, that's incorporated in. But I'm just a simple lawyer.
But that's an example of buying something.
Country lawyer.
Just a simple country lawyer. I don't have the suspenders.
All right, further discussion? Yes,
Bill. I'm not buying much these days with interest rate stuff.
I think the point that Supervisor Molinaro brings up is quite timely and legitimate. It's fine to accept these things that come into the county. In most cases, they're beneficent, they're of good value, it's done as a kind gesture. But the responsibility that we incur as an entity for maintaining, ensuring, anything that might happen as a result of that, I mean, I think we have to have our minds around it. And I think that this is a good point for discussion, but I think we should be drafting some variety of language or policy that gives us the ability to do our duty, which is an oversight committee. And if we're talking about finances and things that result in increased exposure, if you want to take a technical point of view, that we should be not only apprised of that, but we should be actively involved with it. And I don't know how we get this process going. I don't have the nuts and bolts, but it's my observation that we should be proactive and come up with a plan.
And again, I can assure the supervisor and the committee that process has begun.
I believe the intention is to have a resolution to the finance committee next month. Is that right?
It's the hope. I mean, we'll see what happens. As Bernie reminded me, there are only 28 days this year.
Careful.
I pointed out that actually 75% of the time there's only 28 days.
Tomorrow. I saw a movie on 29.
All right. Anything further? All right, thank you, and we'll move on. Thank you, Jonker, and we'll move on to number 20. The audit of bills is completed. Just to remind you, if you ever have any questions about those or objections, that would be the time to do so. Not soliciting anybody.
The green sheet.
Just to remind you.
The green sheet.
The reports, finance director reports, are there any?
He's out of town.
He's out of town. Thank you. Good report.
He's out of town. Well done.
And the budget manager is also on it. But the personnel director.
No one on upstage, the finance director. No report, Mr. Chairman.
Well put. Well put. That pretty much completes the agenda. Is there any other business?
No, I want to talk about the sheriff's overtime report here, please.
All right, go ahead.
We're at number 21.
Go ahead.
As I said in my opening comments, beginning of the meeting, thank you to the department, Nancy Oda specifically, for preparing this, getting it out ahead of time so we can review it. If you take time to just peruse this from a cursory standpoint, you can see that entering into the 25th and 26th pay period, the overtime is sufficiently, substantially reduced from its earlier levels. If we just take a look at KCDC, at one time, back in about the 5th or 6th pay period, we're looking at 874 overtime hours, you know, call it 900 if you'd like, and a high of 1,600 hours. Huge, huge fluctuation. So I think that the administration is certainly proceeding along the proper path to give us some type of evenness, consistency, which benefits us all, including the employees that are responsible for the inmate population. I'm going to bring something up.
If I could?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing it? I'm seeing not a high of 16,000 hours of overtime. 1,600, excuse me. We're down to now 1,100 at our most recent payroll accounting. So I'm seeing it lessening.
I mean, I'm looking at the pre-try to go back to week 20. I'm not passing judgment, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
1,025, 1,200, 1,004, 1,125, 1,200, 1,061, 1,002.
Right, and I was focusing on KCDC, so I guess that's the differential. But to carry on, I think the point is this. It's encouraging to see this trend, but I will bring up a point that I've not discussed with anybody. I'm just bringing it up now for the first time, so there's been no other closed meetings or discussions among anyone. It's just a sole process of my own thoughts to this point. But we do have a county board policy which sets a budget resolution for each administration as a recommended figure, recommended ideal, that we should have a expenditure county levy not exceeding a certain amount. We do this every year. Can you speak to that? It was gone on for how long? Supervisor Clark crafted this, 10 years?
Yeah, probably eight maybe for sure.
So I'm not proposed to speak on it any further than to say it might not be too far out of line to look at this and to say to our administrators who run the jail, look, there's got to be some type of median point that's maybe not as low as 874 and maybe it's not as high as 1560. Maybe there's a point that we should shoot for in terms of consistency, and maybe we should consider as a committee having an advisory, and I do say advisory, not a mandate, to our administrators to have this be more of a consistent process. So that is my comment. Thank you.
Further discussion on this overtime issue? All right, any other business to come before the committee? Seeing none, then I'd entertain a motion.
Second.
There's a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.